Take your Bibles now and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. As we have been studying in this verse 33, we've been looking at the feats of faith. The feats of faith. Not specifically one individual now in the Old Testament, but rather multiple individuals, multiple saints of God who exhibited the characteristics of true faith and the accomplishments of true faith. The accomplishments of true faith. We read that by faith, through faith, they subdued kingdoms. Subdued kingdoms. We went over how that God promised them the land of Canaan, and yet by faith, in obedience, they did those things which appeared to be contrary or illogical. God said to march around the city, blow trumpets at Jericho, and the walls will fall. And by faith they did these things, and by faith these mighty kingdoms were subdued. These mighty kingdoms that by no feat of their own, by no strength of their own, were toppled because of God. They had faith in God, and it was God that did these things. Yet God always does these things through faith and obedience of His children. And we talked about this, that these things are not just outward, but spiritual. And so then we don't subdue earthly kingdoms, but we, as believers in Christ, we subdue the ungodly kingdoms of the flesh, of our nature, the ungodly kingdom of this world. These are our foes, and how are we to overcome them? You struggle with that flesh every day, and you wonder, how is it can I overcome this flesh? By what means has God prescribed for us to overcome this enemy that is constantly at warfare with our new man? How shall we overcome him? Not by means of the flesh, not by determination. That's human wisdom. That's human wisdom. You know, I read this to you before, but David, I think in Psalm 39, he said, I will shut my mouth. He said, I'm not going to speak evil anymore. He determined with everything in him. He said, I'm not even going to speak good because I know sin's mixed with it. I'm just going to be silent from now on. You know what happened? He said, I began to burn within. In other words, the sin began to well up within him, and his determination failed. Anybody have any experience with that? Your determinations not to sin? And yet, what comes out is sin. And what was the conclusion? He said, man at his best state is altogether vanity. That's what determination gets us. So what's the remedy for the flesh? It's this. Faith in Christ. Looking to Christ. Calling on Christ. Trusting in Christ. Waiting for Christ. Turning away and mortifying the deeds of the body and turning to Christ for our righteousness, turning to Him for our acceptance, looking upon Him, not taking your eye off Him. That subdues that kingdom and the world. The world is the kingdom against us, and we subdue this by the same means, faith. Faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And we saw this, that they wrought righteousness, which was that they established the righteousness or the law of God and the worship of God in those old kingdoms. And this is what happened when Christ came and established His kingdom in our heart. He wrought righteousness within us. He wrought righteousness. He subdued that old kingdom, cast out our enemy from us, and He imparted a new nature, the righteousness of God in us, the new man. And that law is established. What does Paul say about the law? It's good. Is that not what you say about the law of God? It's good. There's nothing wrong with the law. Matter of fact, I, by looking to Christ, have established the law. What a wonderful thing. There's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God condemned sin in the flesh. God took away our sin and wrought righteousness, and now has taken that righteousness and through faith implanted it in us, imparted it to us. What a wonderful thing this is. Wrought righteousness. How? By faith. By faith. Anyone need righteousness? Then how is it wrought in you who have no righteousness? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is where the righteousness of God comes in, through faith. Obtain promises. Oh, we obtain the promises. We obtain the promises, how? Through faith. There are many promises in there in Scripture. Many promises. Righteousness, peace with God, eternal life. How shall you obtain the promises of God? These promises are only for the elect, aren't they? They're only for Israel. How then shall you, being a sinner, a stranger from the covenants of promise, obtain these promises? Only through faith in Christ. Do you have faith in Christ? Do you believe on Christ alone? Then you may obtain the promises as yours. I tell you, you may claim all the promises that are in Christ. If you're in Christ, they're all yours. He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, is that not a promise you can hang on to? How shall I receive it? By faith. Through faith they obtain promises. And this is the one we're going to look at this morning. Stopped the mouths of lions. Now you listen. True faith. True faith stops the mouth of lions. I know this. There are no lions in Louisville, Kentucky, I imagine, or in Indiana, except in the zoo. I don't know of any wild lions running through the forests of Indiana. Do you? I haven't heard of it. Maybe there is, but I don't. I'm not really worried. Are you? I go to the park. I may be worried about a snake. I'm not really worried about running into a lion. But there were men in this part of the country that did encounter lions, real lions. And through faith, they overcame this vicious enemy, this vicious attack of the wild beast, the lion, the king of the jungle. And we have three instances of men in the Old Testament who literally, through faith, overcame these lions. These lions. They are Samson, Daniel, and David. These are the three that come to mind. And as we look at these, I want us to see this, and you can get this from the get-go. I'm not talking about physical lions, although they did. We're talking about spiritual lions. What is a spiritual lion? In the Scripture, there is one who is represented as an old lion or a young lion in many ways. It is Satan. Satan is the enemy who is known as a roaring lion. A roaring lion. How then shall we overcome such a powerful foe? Make no mistake, he is powerful. He is more powerful than you or I. And in our own strength, we could never subdue or stop his mouth from devouring us. Let's look at these examples and we'll see how this, through faith, we may be able to stop the mouth of this lion, Satan. Now look at Judges chapter 14. Let's look at this example together. Judges chapter 14. This is an example here is one of Samson. Samson, that Nazarite. That one chosen of God before his birth. The one that had the miracle birth. It is Samson. It was the one that God had given him the Spirit in strength and power. In Judges 14, we see Samson then is a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who else is the great Nazarene but Christ? Who else is the one chosen of God in the miracle birth of the virgin-born Son of God? And here we see Samson choosing a bride. Look at this. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman of Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. And his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. And his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Here's Samson. He sees a woman, not just any woman. He sees a woman of the uncircumcised Philistines, a daughter of the heathen. A daughter of the heathen. And he has affection for her. He is moved for her. He said, that woman pleaseth me. Get her for me to wife. Now tell me, is this not a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ? Our Lord Jesus Christ has a bride. You know who it is? A daughter of a ruined race. The church, the elect, are pictured in Scripture as a harlot. We're pictured as a harlot. We are pictured as unclean by nature. And yet it is the affection and love of Christ. And listen, He chose this woman because it was the will of God. God sought an occasion against him, and that's why Samson chose this bride. Why is it that God would choose such a wretch as we are by nature? Because he sought an occasion against his enemy. He sought to seek to get himself glory. And notice how he does it here. And Samson went down, and his father and mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him. Tore that lion apart as he would a goat. It was nothing to him. Tore through him like a man would tear through wet paper. With what? He had nothing in his hand. And he told it not to his father and mother as what he had done. He went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased him well. Pleased him well. See the picture? Our Lord has eyes only for His bride. He has eyes only for His bride. Go to Hosea. Look at this in Hosea and see if this is not the same thing, a picture. Remember Gomer, that prostitute. He said to Hosea, go down and marry a woman of whoredoms. Why? Because it's a picture of what God would do for His church. God would do for His people. Look what he says in verse 14. This is what he's doing. Hosea being a picture of our Lord. His wife had left him and went after other lovers. And what he had done is he had left her corn and wine at her door daily. And she thought it was her lovers doing this. She didn't know it was from him. And he says in verse 9, I will return and take away the corn in the time thereof and the wine thereof and the season thereof. And will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will cause her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy the vines of her fig tree, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards of my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Is this not what God did to you as He sought you? You had all of your sin, all of your pleasures, all of the things of the world, and then you thought the pleasures were because of sin. You didn't realize that God had given you everything you'd had. And by grace, God, if He allures us, He's going to take these things away. He's going to show us and expose us of our sin. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. I will give her the vineyards from thence, a valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing therein as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Isha, that means beloved husband, and no more call me Belali, which means master. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall be no more remembered by their name. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword of battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Listen, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and tender mercies. I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. See the picture? This is exactly what happens. God comes in and He allures us. How? By law? No, by grace. By mercy. We're exposed to be harlots, and yet God says, I'm going to lure you. I'm going to lure you by the cross. That's what the Valley of Achor is. Remember that man Achan who stole the treasure? And he was killed in the stead of Israel in the Valley of Achor. It's a picture of Christ. He allures us by the gospel and brings us into Himself. This is a picture of Christ, His bride. He comes to get us. But how shall He get His bride? Just as Samson came to get his bride, to speak to her that well pleased him. How did he have to do it? He had to destroy the lion. As he went, there came upon him a lion. Now tell me, is that not exactly what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ as He came into this world? Is it not put in the heart of Herod to seek His destruction from the beginning? Was it not at the beginning of His ministry that He was thrust into the wilderness and tempted of the devil? A roaring lion came upon Him. But this is why He came. He came in the Spirit of God to deliver us from the works of the devil. To turn us from the power of Satan to the power of God. To the grace of God. And how should He do this? How should He rend this lion? I'll tell you how. He believed God. That's how He rent this lion. Isn't that His answer in the temptation? His answer was God. To believe in God. Turn these stones into bread. He said, look, man's not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He had faith in God always. The Lord rebuked thee. He had faith in God all of his life. This is how he should rend the enemy and tear him to pieces. By his obedience to God. And not only by this, but by his death. By his death. They who thought to defeat the Lord by death. They did not realize that this is how He should devour them. How He should overcome them through His death. And behold, as Samson had nothing in his hand, so did the Lord Jesus have nothing in his hand. No sin. He had no sin in his hand. He had no guile in his heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ came with nothing in his hand. No merit of death, and yet God did this because He sought occasion against our enemy. And so then, it is by the death of Christ we have the death of death. By the death of Christ, we have the death of death. It's gone because Christ has victoriously consumed it. By His one offering, wherein God hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, He hath made us who believe in Him to be the righteousness of God. Righteousness of God. One preacher wrote, "A Samson is a type of Christ. Do we not see the emblem of Jesus' triumph over the powers of darkness? When He was led of the Spirit in the wilderness, tempted of the devil, and see Him triumphing in the victory over our sin, death, and hell upon the cursed tree. Behold now how the lion, that accused the brethren has been cast out from the presence of God. By His one feat." You should recognize this, you who are in Christ. That enemy has been forever cast out of the presence of God so that he cannot accuse us before God anymore. Cannot accuse us. Go to Revelation chapter 12. See this in the picture in Revelation 12. See the defeat of our enemy. Look at verse 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon." The word Michael means prince. Christ, our prince. "Fought against the dragon, and the dragon against his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there any place found for them any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto death." See how he was defeated was by Christ. He is defeated by Christ. And how did he overcome him? By his blood. By the blood of the Lamb. By the Word of God. So how then are we as his people now to overcome this same foe, this same enemy that roars against us? Because Satan is not destroyed. Make no mistake about this. Our enemy is not destroyed. He is very real. He's very real. And to think otherwise is very dangerous. Very dangerous for you. He is defeated. He is angry. He is cruel. But he is not yet destroyed or cast completely into hell. He is... Where is he? Look at verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them." Now look, to those saints who are in heaven, rejoice! Your war is over. There's no more way he could get to you. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come to you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast in the earth, what did he do? He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Who is that? The bride. The church. Satan is come to you. Woe to you. He has come to you. And what is he doing? In anger and vengeance and hatred and cruelty, he is set to persecute the church. What is our hope of ever overcoming this lion, stopping his mouth? Look, to the woman was given two wings of great eagle, that she might fly to the wilderness into a place where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth a flood after the woman. He might cause her to be carried away by the flood. The earth helped the woman. The earth opened up his mouth and swallowed the flood of the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Christ. Who is that? That's you. That's you. You're the woman and you're the seed. What is this flood? What is this flood? Accusations. The flood of accusations. The flood of subtlety and subject the flood of accusations, the flood of by his subtlety to move you from Christ. That's what he desires to do. To drown you. Believer, our foe is defeated, cast out from heaven, but not destroyed. He is here, and with anger and cruelty, he desires only to hurt you. Have you ever had any experience in this? Because anybody with true faith has had some experience with this foe. I remember reading Luther having such a battle with him, he threw the ink block at him. Like that would help. Have you ever done that? I've been so upset that I'm sure that we thought that we could get rid of him by that. How then shall you defeat this enemy? How shall you overcome him? Listen, to overcome him, you must first understand he's defeated. Not by you. That's altogether important. Remember, who it was that defeated the lion was not the bride, it was Samson. Who has defeated your foe is not you, but Christ, your Savior, has defeated him. Your Savior has cast him out. Your Savior has delivered you from his power. What shall you do when you are faced with him? Because you will be. You will be. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at verse 6. He says this to us who are believers, humble yourselves. Therefore, because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Who needs grace? Who needs grace? The humble need grace. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Listen, that He may exalt you. When? When it's His time. Anybody need to be lifted up? Don't lift up yourselves. Humble yourself and wait. Wait for Him to lift you up. To Him to exalt you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He careth for you. Let us humble then ourselves and submit under the mighty hand of God and cast all our cares upon Him. Trust and love for Christ. Cast all our cares upon His work of grace. And listen, be sober and vigilant. How are you to humble yourselves and cast your care? Sober and vigilantly do it. Do it with all sobriety of mind, recognizing who you are, recognizing what God has done for you, with all vigilance, with all determination and dedication. Humble yourselves and cast your care upon Him. Why should you do this? Why should you be so sober and vigilant to do this? Because you have an enemy, a lion, Satan, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. We have an enemy that seeks to devour our souls. How then shall he enter in to do that? His entering in surely comes by our murmuring, our covetousness, and discontent with the circumstances in God's providence. Isn't that an entering in for the lion? Aren't you allowing the door to be open for him to enter in by your murmuring and complaining against God? We are. Be sober and vigilant to humble yourselves so that you would not murmur and complain against God. Cast all your care upon Him, because if you don't, you'll become covetous. Isn't that what you found in your experience? You look around and you see this person's having a good time. This person's doing well. There's no problem over here. And what do? We say, instead of taking our care and casting it on Him, we just try to fix it ourselves. It allows Him to come in. It's an entry. Are you in trouble? Are you suffering affliction? Listen, this is common among saints. You're not. It happened to you that hasn't happened to saints before you. This is not something new. This has happened to all our brethren in some measure. We've all just had this same experience before. They've had it. Remember, as Peter said, resist the devil. Steadfast, how? In the faith. In the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. To Him be glory. Believer, your suffering is not accidental. And the moment you think it is, He says this, yea, hath the Lord said. Isn't that our mother, what was she even doing around the fruit? What is that? What is her purpose around there? Many trees, and yet she decided to hang around this one. And sure enough, the temptations become in. The temptations to blame God, to set God at variance, to put evil upon God, as though what we're experiencing is some evil thing. Now, it feels evil to the flesh. But what does faith say? Faith says God is good. And all God does is good. And if we don't see that, if we don't humble ourselves under that, sure enough, the enemy will come in and make his case. He'll roar against you. Resist him in the faith. Not argue with him. Who's done that? Not quote Scripture to him. You listen, Satan's been around for over 6,000 years and he's pretty good at this. He's good at this. Better than you. If he quotes Scripture to our Lord, you imagine how he'll quote it to you? I remember reading Bunyan. He had had this thought that he said was of the devil to sell the Lord. And he couldn't get it out of his head. For a year or so, he'd sell him, sell him, sell him, sell him, sell him. And one thought came to him. He was so oppressed with his afflictions. The thought came to his mind, I must sell him. And what did Satan do? He turned around and said, aha, see, there's no way you could be a child of God. He tempted him. And then when the thought came in, he accused him. He accused him. Friends, Satan knows how to work you, how to manipulate you. He quotes Scripture, and he used that Scripture. Esau sought it carefully with tears. Sought repentance. He says, you're nothing but Esau. Friends, we're not to debate with him, not to argue with him. We will fail miserably. But we must look by faith to Christ and let Him alone plead our cause. Plead our cause. Are you tempted of Him? Are you accused of Him? The best thing you can do to resist Him is to leave your cause with Christ. Isn't that what Newton did when he said, 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? What a case! What a struggle! He said, Lord, decide the doubtful case. He left it in the hands of Christ. Lord, You tell me if I am or not. I desire to hear from Him, don't you? I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be left alone. I don't want to be without You. When the enemy comes, that's what he does. You're without him. You're without him. I don't care what you say. What does he say? What does he say? Lord, look to him by faith to plead our cause. You remember that man, the prophet, the high priest Joshua? He stood before the Lord in those filthy garments of sin. And Satan stood at his right hand ready to accuse him. But what stopped his mouth? Was it Joshua who stopped his mouth? No. Joshua stood before the Lord to plead His cause. By faith he stood there in his filthy garments, hoping only in the word and verdict of the Lord to plead His case. And you know what he found? He found power to resist. It wasn't his power, it was the power of Christ. The angel of the Lord said, shut up. The angel of the Lord stopped his mouth and said, who are you to make accusations of this? Is this not one of the brands plucked from the burning? Is this not my sheep? Have I not suffered and died in his stead? Who are you to accuse my sheep of anything? The Lord said, take off those filthy garments and you put on my garments. Put on my robe of righteousness. The one I purchased for him. He resisted him. How? By looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. You see, we have a greater advocate than our foe. And His blood and righteousness is greater than all our sins. I like this. He has not only said, John said this, believers sin not. But when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation not for our sins only. Now, he's showing the greatness of our advocate and his death. He said, not just your sins, but the sins of the whole world. All of his people he died for. His sacrifice. Christ was so great it not only covered all your sins, but all of the sins of His people. I I think of Hezekiah. Remember that king, that great king of man of God, surrounded by the Assyrian army? That Assyrian came out and he said to Israel, don't you trust in your God. Don't you let them tell you your God will deliver you. Don't let them tell... All the other gods were not able to deliver them. How shall the God of Israel deliver you? Is that not a picture of Satan roaring against us? How shall God save you? You're not worthy to be saved. There's no way God could love you. You're not worthy of His love. To which Hezekiah took the letters that they wrote, and what did he do? He spread them out before the Lord. Is this not how the lion's mouth is shut? We spread our complaint before the Lord. And God said, you don't worry about him. He'll come back the same way he came. I'll destroy him and his army with him. And this is how the mouth of our enemy is stopped. Faith in Christ. Trusting Christ. Only Christ. Always Christ. That is the only way this enemy stopped. It's the only way his mouth is shut. Remember Daniel? Daniel was shut up in the den of lions. But what did Daniel do, really, to shut the lions' mouths? He just believed God. And the angel of the Lord shut the mouths of the lion. David, when that sheep was taken from his fold, remember, he told this to Saul before he went out and slew Goliath. He said, the bear and the lion have taken the sheep in their mouth. And he said, I grabbed the lion by his beard and slew him. Is that not exactly what the Lord did for us? We were in the mouth. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. And we were in the very teeth of our enemy. The only thing that separated us from hell was one hair's breadth. You mark this down, my Savior grabbed him by the beard and slew him and took me from his mouth and saved me. And I tell you this, He does this every day of my life. He saves me. You see, I've not just been saved in the past. I am being saved in the very present. How then are we to quench His fiery darts of accusations against us? Now, He can't accuse us before God, but He does accuse us in our own heart. How is it we escape? Believing God. It is the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, believer, we have a real enemy. And how is his mouth stopped? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Cast all your care on Him. Got any care? Where you put it? On Him. He careth for you. Careth for you. Be sober and vigilant to do this, and you shall resist him who seeks your destruction. And the wicked one shall not touch him. I pray God bless this to you.